Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. We read, what is more widely known throughout the Christian world than that one ought to examine himself? Today, we are approaching the Lord by taking the sacrament of the Holy Supper. We may reflect on the words of the prophet Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my belly for the sin of my soul? He has told thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do judgment and to love mercy and to humble thyself to walk with thy God? In the book of Samuel, we find words with a similar theme. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Accordingly, we read in the Heavenly Doctrine, the Holy Supper was instituted by the Lord, so that by means of it the church may be conjoined with heaven, and thus with the Lord. It is therefore the most holy thing of worship. But conjunction with the Lord by the sacrament of the Holy Supper takes place solely with those who are in the good of faith and love to the Lord, from the Lord. With others, there is indeed the presence of the Lord, but no conjunction with him. The Lord is present with everyone, urging and pressing to be received. But he preserves our freedom to receive and acknowledge him or not. To the words of Micah and of Samuel, the writings add some particulars which help us answer the question, how may I approach the Lord worthily? We read, they approach the Lord, the Holy Supper, worthily, who have faith in the Lord and charity towards the neighbor, thus who are regenerate, or we might say, who are being regenerated. Every Christian who studies the Word perceives that God, charity, and faith are the three universals of the church, because they are the universal means of salvation. Reason itself, if there's anything spiritual in it, teaches that God must be acknowledged in order that one may have religion and anything of the church in him. After the acknowledgement of God, charity is the second means by which one worthily approaches the Holy Supper. This is evident from the Word. The first commandment and precept is that man should love God above all things and the neighbor as themselves. To approach the Holy Supper worthily, and thus to come before the Lord as we should, means to take the Lord's Supper sincerely, not hypocritically or cynically, that is, with a real acknowledgement of the Lord and with an actual life of charity. The first of charity is to shun evils as sins, that is, to practice repentance. So we read, the man who is in what is holy, when he receives the bread of the Holy Supper, does not then think of bread, but of the Lord and of his mercy. And he thinks of those things which are of love to him and of charity toward the neighbor, because he thinks of repentance and amendment of life. Repentance begins with the knowledge of sin and the examination of some particular sin in oneself. Many are not aware that they are in evils because they don't commit them outwardly, for they fear the civil laws and the loss of reputation. And so, from habit and a disposition thus acquired, they learn to shun evils as detrimental to their honor and interest. But if they do not shun evils from a religious principle, because they are sins and against God, the lusts of evil with their delights still remain like polluted waters, dammed up or stagnant. Let them examine their thoughts and intentions, and they will find these lusts, provided they know what sin is. That repentance is absolutely necessary, and that a person's salvation depends on it, may be clearly seen from many passages and plain declarations of the Lord in the Word. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. Now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Anyone may understand from the ability to reason with which he is endowed that it is not repentance for a man to confess with his lips only that he is a sinner and to utter many things about sin. Nothing is easier for a man when he is in distress and anguish than to breathe out sighs and utter groans, and also to beat his breast and make himself guilty of every sin, when yet he is conscious of none in himself. Do the hordes of devils that infest his loves depart with his sighs? Do they not rather jeer at all this, and still remain in him as in their own home? From what has been said, it may be clear that such repentance is not what is meant in the word, but repentance from evil works. Those who only understand and talk about what is true and what is good are like the foolish virgins who had lamps but not oil, whereas those who not only understand and talk about the true and the good, but also will and do them, are the wise virgins who were admitted to the wedding, while the others stood outside and knocked but were not admitted. Acts of repentance are all those which lead one not to will and consequently not to do those evils which are sins against God. Those who by repentance have removed some evils that are sins come into the set purpose of believing in the Lord and loving the neighbor. They are upheld by the Lord in their determination to abstain from further evils, so that if they should commit sin through ignorance or some overpowering lust, it is not imputed to them, because they did not do it of set purpose, nor do they justify it to themselves. If actual repentance is practiced at stated times, especially when one prepares himself for the communion of the Holy Supper, provided that he afterwards abstains from one or more sins which he then discovers in himself, this is sufficient to initiate him into the real practice of it, when in this state he is on the way to heaven. For then he begins from being natural to become spiritual and to be born anew of the Lord. This is the way we may do judgment and love mercy and humble ourselves to walk with our God. Amen.